This is Radio Boston. I'm Anthony Brooks. This week, WBUR has been featuring stories about Cuba's vibrant art scene from arts reporter Andrea Shea. Her series is called Cuba Opens Through Art, and today's story is all about Cuban music. For this piece, Andrea teamed up with a Boston-based ethnomusicologist on a five-day exploration of Havana's rich music scene, and as she reports, they discovered some major surprises.
Berklee College of Music professor Bill Banfield knew we'd find music on the streets of old Havana. He just didn't know how much. On our first full day, we run into a Cuban guitarist singing about the revolution. Bill is immediately swept into the song. In the U.S., people walk by street musicians, but here it's a state-licensed job. If you stop to listen, you're expected to pay, and musicians are around every corner. Let's just say Bill is in heaven.
Crazy.
Over the moon.
It's over the freaking Saturn and... yeah, because they sing the songs of the people. You see, and he was singing about revolution. Still...
The first real surprise for Bill is when he hears chamber music coming out of an ancient church. He stops in his tracks. Inside, he's floored to see Zenaida Rameau, a famous Cuban conductor, rehearsing with her all-female orchestra, free and open to the public. Bill compares it to stumbling in on Leonard Bernstein. Bill's agenda for this trip includes jamming with a lot of Cuban musicians. He even brought along his new Crimson Rose Gibson guitar. But as an educator and ethnomusicologist with a focus on the African diaspora, he also hopes to make authentic connections with Cuban people.
So he's a rapper. Hey, sir, come on.
Bill wants to learn about their lives and plant seeds for future collaborations.
Milk doesn't come from a carton, it comes from a cow.
It's like what he tells his students at Berklee.
And I think it's the same thing with art and culture. It doesn't come from an internet website. It doesn't come from American Idol. You know, art and music expression come out of the living lives of people. And so, you know, when you go to a place that, like you say, sees that up at the top of the kind of human codes, that's extraordinary.
Musicians here have a kind of diplomatic immunity. They're like cultural ambassadors with a universal language. Meet musical ambassador number one, hip-hop artist Edgaro Gonzalez.
Suénalo.
Directamente de La Habana, Cuba. Los Increíbles.
Edgaro joins us on the tour bus, and the two musicians hit it off immediately. They met via email, but now they're talking like old buddies about the blues, salsa, American jazz, and Cuban pop. Edgaro explains that Cuba's isolation has forced musicians to improvise their own sound.
And that I found like fascinating in Cuba, because it's out of the lack of information, this all this... crazy mixtures of thing, you know?
Yeah, but you know, that whole thing is exactly the formula for Cuban survival across the board.
Exactly, yeah.
Edgaro, Bill, and I are heading to La Zorro y El Cuervo, or The Fox and the Crow, a famous jazz club. When we get there, the hip-hop artist arranges for Bill to jam with some young A-list Cuban musicians. Bill is hoping to forge relationships with musicians like the guys he's on stage with. When we go to the Instituto Superior de Art, or ISA, the next day, we meet 34-year-old pianist Dennis Peralta. As our next musical ambassador, he connects Bill to school administrators, but also throws together a last-minute jam session on campus.
Let's go, let's go.
A large common room is filled with more than a dozen young Cuban musicians. Some are here just to catch a glimpse of the American professor from Berklee. Others are showing him their chops. Bill jumps to the piano and finds his groove with a 20-something flutist. Everyone is smiling. When it's over, a brilliant trumpet player approaches Bill to say he knows Berkeley and will be playing in Boston this year.
I'd like to invite you to one of our shows. You know, I'm playing with some band that is playing in Boston.
You make sure you email me when you're there.
Okay, man, okay.
What's your name?
Jeffrey.
Jeffrey?
Jeffrey.
What's your last name?
Valdez.
Valdez. How old are you?
I'm 29 years old.
29? Yeah. How long have you been playing your instrument?
Since I was 10 years old.
All of the musicians here seem to know about Berklee College of Music. In fact, Dennis, a professional musician, received a partial scholarship to Berklee last year, but couldn't afford the remaining $40,000 for tuition. Music school in Cuba is free.
It's very expensive to sustain that. My school, ISA, for example, each musician uses an instrument given by the school. Instrument to learn and to play, given by the school. They need pianos, they need all the equipment in music.
Bill sees this visit to the Cuban music school as the beginning of a long-term relationship. But as satisfying as that is, this explorer wants to go deeper. He hopes to find something way off the tourist track. And we do. A few hours later, Bill, Dennis, Edgaro, and I go somewhere that was not on the professor's itinerary, not even close. It's kind of like finding the dodo or a musical holy grail. Industrial, emo, heavy metal, Cuban style, at a government-run rock club in central Havana. All five members of the band Hypnosis have hair down to their knees. They're clad in leather. We're here because Edgaro's DJ girlfriend opened for the band. Bill, a classically trained jazz musician and composer, is way out of his element. When we get out of the club, I ask Bill what he thought of the Cuban rock.
Fabulous. I wouldn't have known that I was in Cuba with that. They had learned and appropriated all of the nuances of and the style and the sound. They had all the techniques. They had all the equipment. So they were thrashing, baby. They were hitting it hard. I would never have imagined.
But wait, it gets better. When we leave the rock club at 1 a.m., we can't find a cab. So Dennis, ambassador number two, takes us to another place tourists never go, on a ride in a Cuban cab. There are two types of cabs in Havana, just like there are two types of pesos, one for Cubans and one for tourists. Dennis directs us to a dark street corner and tells us to be quiet. A geriatric American jalopy pulls up and we get in. Even though he's freaked out walking through central Havana at night, Bill feels he's done what he came to do with Dennis's help.
Yes, a cab ride, a Cuban botero. Cuban botero, Cuban pure taxi for Cubans. It's like something you can't pay for. I'm trying to give you the Cuban sensation. I know you studying ethnomusicology. Well, you need to know the ethno part.
That's what
I'm trying to give you.
No, I got that. That was wonderful.
And like an old friend, Dennis makes fun of how nervous his new American friend was in that uncharted cab ride.
We are in hell.
Dennis says 5 days is not long enough to experience all of the music Cuba has to offer. So Bill now has plans to fly back in February.
That's WBUR's arts reporter Andrea Shea. You can see Andrea's pictures and videos of Havana's music scene, including the Cuban rock band Hypnosis, at WBUR.org. The series Cuba Opens Through Art was edited by Martha Little, with production help from George Hicks, Katie Broida, Abby Conway, and Missy Webb. And that's it for today. Radio Boston is a production of WBUR with regular contributions from The Angle at Boston.com. I'm Anthony Brooks. Meghna Chakrabarty will be back tomorrow. Join us then for more Radio Boston.